When you pull up to the building, you're surprised. It looks more or less like a community center or some other municipal building, except it's at least an hour out from the city and in the middle of nowhere. But it says Women's Center across the top, and according to your GPS, this is where you're supposed to be. So you grimace, grab your bag, and loop toward the door. Inside, you see long hallways and what seem to be several rooms. There's a receptionist desk up at the front, but there's no one there. You walk over and you stand. Down one of the hallways, to your right, you can see two women standing and talking. One of them is a very petite woman with dark hair, and the other is tall, with long, dark hair reaching past her shoulders. She looks quite angry and a little fierce. You shift uncomfortably, wondering what you've gotten yourself into. Normally, you'd never work this far out from the city, but jobs haven't been thick on the ground lately, and so you decide that it's a good time to take up this rather enticing offer. The taller woman with the long dark hair sees you. A look of consternation crosses her face, and for a moment you're quite nervous. Why does she seem so angry, you wonder? She strides toward you, her heels clicking as she walks down the hall. The sound echoes in the otherwise quiet building. Click, 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 click. Click, click. Suddenly, she's standing in front of you. You blink. I'm here about the consulting job. You stutter. A little nervous. Well. You did come very highly recommended. I assume you remember, Martha Blackstone. I believe you worked for her out at Dynamic Corporation. You can feel your heart drop in your chest. Martha? Martha was the one who suggested you for this position? From what you can remember, Martha hated you. She had been such a bitch to work for, never happy, always making snide comments about you. That didn't seem right. It didn't seem like something that she would suggest you for. But you had completed the work there, certainly to the satisfaction of the other members of the board. Perhaps you had had a change of heart after you had left. Yes, of course I remember Martha, you say. It was a pleasure working there.
Was she?
Well, you're here because I need you to do some rather specific projects. And I will say, this is an organization that prides itself on, how shall I put this, discretion. Certainly our work is kept very secret, and even within the company, we have a certain amount of non-disclosure, if you will. You shift from side to side nervously, not quite sure how to respond. What this means is that you are to have communication only with me within the company. You are not to speak with the other employees, and you are also not to wander the halls. You are to come in every day and report to your desk in your office, and that is that. Do you understand? You nod your head. Now, I know this must seem quite strange, but we deal with a lot of sensitive, confidential information at this facility, and you're going to be dealing directly with a lot of that data. What I need from you is a system by which to organize all of this data. We have an incredible wealth of information about some of our clients, and, well, I need someone to help me organize it in such a way that it becomes useful. And so that we can find what we need when we need it. Now, I've been told that you have the skills that will complete this job probably within a week. Is that accurate? You shift again, not sure whether or not you want to agree to something without having seen the data set first. Most likely, you respond carefully. I'd have to take a look first. The tall woman with the dark hair narrows her eyes. Well, before you can take a look at anything, you have to sign this non-disclosure agreement. And this, of course, means that you won't share anything that you see, hear, read while you're in this facility. Is that clear? You nod again. Look down at the paper. See that it has several paragraphs. You read through the top one carefully. But you notice the tall woman is clicking her heels against the floor, rather impatiently. You clear your throat quickly and go ahead and sign without reading the rest of the... Looked pretty standard anyway. Well, that's great. Let me show you to your office. Click, 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 down the hallway. Your office is the second door on the left, down the right-hand hallway. Not a very large office. There's no windows. More of a cubicle or a closet than an office, really. There are a few computers set up there and what looks to be a server. You take a deep breath. Finally, you're in your comfort zone. The woman waves her hand at the computer. I think you'll be able to find what you need there. I'll check in with you periodically, and then we can go over exactly what I'm looking for. How does that sound? You nod. She turns and leaves. Suddenly, you're alone in this small cubicle. Alone in the space. And you start to think, why does all this feel so weird? I mean, why is this woman, Darla, why is Darla so hell-bent on keeping things quiet? What kind of data could they be looking through? You do a bit of digging, seeing if you can answer the question yourself. But to you, it just looks like basic demographic information. It's fairly easy to see that each client has a number of facts and information, variables about themselves. You shake your head. What's so secretive about John Smith? 52. Not very interesting at all. Date of birth, height, weight, eye color. Nothing particularly interesting. A list of the minor achievements of the man's life. Soccer star in high school. A good billiards player. Nothing particularly interesting. You shake your head and continue to look through the data set. It is rather cumbersome, but nothing that you can't manage within the week. But you decide to tell her it'll take 2 weeks, just in case. When Darla comes back into the room, you look up again. With her tall heels, she towers over you. You feel your throat constrict slightly. She's a very powerful woman. Intimidating. And especially since she's the one who's signing the paycheck. The paycheck you so desperately need. So, I see you've settled in. Doesn't look like anything you can't handle, right? The two of you continue to talk over the details of the project. How exactly Darla wants things to be sorted. As she stands up to leave again, you have a much fuller understanding of what the project is supposed to be. But still, not entirely sure how useful the information will be or what the purpose of it's for. You frame the question. What do you use this for anyway? Might help me design this in a better way. The small smile on her face freezes in place. I thought I explained to you here is highly sensitive. We don't talk about it. In fact, when we have people come in for these projects, we're so secretive, and we discourage conversation so much, that we prefer not to use real names at all. So... You're assigned a number or a letter depending on your usefulness. And your letter is G. So when I want to talk to you, I'll page you as G, and that's how I'll refer to you. And you're to call me Darla, and that's the only name by which you'll call me. You swallow hard. Darla, okay, that's not so weird, but G, what's that about? Can't use my real name? That's odd. Is that a problem? No, you speak up quickly. Not a problem at all. Darla gets a small smirk on her face. She settles on the side of the desk and looks down. I'm sure we'll have just a wonderful time while you're here. You think it'll take about 2 weeks? She cocks her head to the side. I'll pay you double if you do it in one. You swallow hard again and agree. It's going to be a very long week. You can tell already. You spend the rest of the day getting into the flow of the project. This is the kind of work that you thrive on, figuring out how to harness a complex set of issues, variables, how to solve a problem. It's easy for the day to flow by. The only time you leave your desk is to wander down the hall. Just two doors down on the right is the bathroom. The men's room is a single stall, almost as if it were a handicap bathroom. You notice across the way that the women's restroom, which seems to have a high level of traffic throughout the day, seems much larger. Huh, that figures, you think? You keep the door to your office open, hoping to make things feel larger than the tiny cubicle of a space that you're in. Every once in a while, someone strides past. The small, dark-haired woman from before. A tall, leggy blonde. A curvy redhead, wearing a skirt that's just a snidge too short. You definitely notice that. As the day wears on, you begin to notice and think to yourself that you hadn't seen a single other male employee other than yourself. You suppose it was not that surprising, considering that the business is a women's center. Whatever that means. By mid-afternoon, you realize that you haven't eaten anything all day. You stand in the hallway, looking up and down, wondering if there's a cafeteria in this building. You start to stride down the hall. Most of the doors are closed. There are a few other offices that have their doors open, and you can see some of the women you've noticed passing through all day long, sitting behind desks, working at their computers. But there's no sight or sign of a cafeteria. The building seems rather large, and you notice an elevator. It becomes clear to you that there must be other floors, or at least a second floor and a basement. You hadn't noticed that the building was extraordinarily tall, but it seems the building was much larger than you initially thought. There must be a cafeteria somewhere, or at least a snack machine, you think to yourself. You feel some change jingling in your pocket. All I want is a Kit Kat bar, and I'll be fine, you think to yourself. You jab the button for the elevator doors to open. Ding! You get in the elevator, and you're confronted with the choice. Do you go to the second floor, or to the basement? You think back to your college days. Seems like they always put the snack machines in the basement. So, you jab the button again, B for basement. The doors close, and start to go down. They open in what looks like a long, thin hallway, with cold stone walls, painted a bright white, whitewashed as if to and lend some lightness to the cold basement. You look down the hall, first to the right and then to the left. You see more doorways, but it doesn't seem to be anything that would indicate which direction to head in. So, you take a right, and almost immediately you run into Darla. What are you doing down here?
Her voice is sharp, angry, staccato. I told you, we don't encourage employees to just wander throughout the facility. If you need something, you should let someone know on your floor in your area. Now, let's get back on this elevator. Out of the corner of your eye, you think you see something at the doorway to one of the rooms that you can't quite make out. It looks like a hand, a flash of hair. It looks like a man at the doorway. But it's hard to tell from that distance. So, you follow Darla back to the elevator. You tell her you were hungry, looking for something to eat. Well, on the first floor, down the other hallway, the other wing, there's a small lunchroom, certainly with a snack machine, the kind you're looking for. Tomorrow you should bring your own lunch. We don't have a real cafeteria here. You make a comment about how you're surprised, what with so many people working in the building. Darla's eyes narrow again. What makes you think we have many employees? Certainly, you know, we have several who work on the floor where you work, but it's not that large a facility. Suddenly you realize that it's probably best just to let the subject drop. Darla seems agitated, angry. In fact, everything about her exudes anger. She seems dismissive of you, almost upset that she requires your services. You shrug it off. Must be that time of the month or something. Darla walks down the hallway with you, and again you can hear her heels click, 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 click. You let yourself fall a step or two behind her, admiring the way her hips move as she walks, the way her pencil skirt clings to her curves, and her little jacket drawn tight around her waist. Even if Darla's cold, even if she's a bitch, even if she's angry, she sure does have a nice ass, you think. Click, 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 click. You're around the corner, and there to the left is a small lunchroom, one vending machine, a water cooler, a little mini fridge, and a microwave. You think, I've seen worse. Darla leaves you there. I'm sure you'll be able to find something here, she says curtly before leaving. You get yourself a Kit Kat bar and some animal crackers from the vending machine. You have a seat at the small table in the lunchroom, eager to spend even 5 minutes in a room with a window. You look out the window, and all you see are fields, and in the distance, some trees. Really are quite far out in the country. Surprising. Why would anyone build way out here like this, you think to yourself, as you chew on a giraffe. You shrug, try to let your mind clear, before you spend another few hours working on the project at hand. Suddenly, two women come into the break room. They give you a dirty look, as if you're the one interrupting them, even though they walked in on you. The conversation they had been having trailed off, but not before you heard the blonde say something along the lines of, I think it might be too radical. The other woman, a small, plump woman, gives you a tight smile. The blonde doesn't look at you at all. The two of them stand next to the microwave, waiting for it to ding as they heat up their tea. Neither of them say anything while you're there, and you find yourself extremely uncomfortable in the silence. Nice day, isn't it? You say to them awkwardly. The blonde refuses to look at you. Again, the small plump woman gives you a small, tight grin. Inwardly, you cringe. Maybe you're not always the most socially apt person, but certainly commenting on the weather is about the safest thing you can do. What are you doing wrong? Suddenly you start to wonder, is this like a battered women's center or something? Yeah, there's a lack of men here, you know, perhaps this is a center for women to get away from men and start new lives or something like that. It would certainly explain the hostility you've been feeling all day long, and the somewhat unnameable undercurrent of anger toward you, you know? Maybe you somehow represented their attackers or something, and the thought makes you feel a little better. I mean, not that these women had been attacked, that didn't make you feel good at all, but the fact that it could be, have nothing to do with you. It could just be that, you know, you're a male and you're not particularly welcome. You resolve to stop trying to have conversations with these women. Just here to do the job, you think. Do this job. Do this job in the week, get paid double, and get out. You put in a few more hours trying to figure out the best way to sort through all of the data and make it available in the way that Darla had discussed. Before you know it, it's 5 o'clock, and people are streaming past your office door. Suddenly, Darla's in your doorway. Well, that's it for today. You give her a look. She's got that smile on her face again, that one that doesn't touch her eyes. And you can tell she's still angry at you for some reason. Or perhaps not angry, but resentful. How did your first day go? She asks flatly, as if she doesn't particularly care. It went well. I think I'm making good progress. You gather your things. You can tell that she's waiting for you to exit the room and the building. Quite interesting. Yes, yes, that's all well and good, she says. Her tone is very brisk, and she seems to be hurrying you out the door. There are a few other women in the lobby, and another few women outdoors, out in the parking lot / yard, if you will, of the facility. There are a number of cars there, but no one seems in a hurry to jump in theirs and drive away. You, however, are very eager to leave. You've got a hotel about a half hour down the road. It was the nearest one you could find. So, you climb into your Honda, start it up, and drive away. What a creepy place, you think to yourself. You look in the rearview mirror, and you notice that the women who had congregated in the parking lot, the women you had assumed were leaving for the day, they were all heading back into the building. Oh, perhaps there was some sort of party or gathering that they hadn't wanted to invite you to. Something was going on. But didn't matter to you. You were ready to head back to the hotel, find the minibar, take off your pants, jerk off, do whatever else you felt like doing for the night. Try to relax. Tomorrow was a whole new day.
Once at the hotel, you take a moment to relax before stripping down to your boxers and laying on the bed. You try to flip to something on the television, but nothing seems particularly interesting. You can't seem to get out of your head all the things you had seen over the course of the day, and that nagging feeling that something just wasn't quite right. You lay back on the pillow, your hands behind your head, staring at the ceiling. Suddenly, in your mind's eye, you see Darla. You see that pencil skirt hugging her curves, that smart little jacket. For some reason, despite, or maybe because of, how cold and distant she had been to you all day long, despite that, there was something about her, something about the way she carried herself, that sense of power, entitlement, confidence. You'd rarely met women like that. Women who seemed so utterly sure of themselves. Granted, you preferred your women a little more willing. But every once in a while, there was something exciting about a woman with an edge. One who would probably issue orders during sex. Suddenly you can feel your dick starting to harden as you imagine Darla's strong voice telling you how to touch yourself. Stroke that cock for me. You feel a little shiver down your spine. You imagine it would be just like that. Her mouth in a tight line, staring down at you. You start to rub yourself through your boxers. You have to follow orders, don't you? Stroke yourself for me. Stroke that cock of yours. And you pull your cock out and obey. Even though you know you're just imagining things. It just, you feel so sure that's how she would treat you. Pathetic thing. Nice cock you've got there. No, I don't mean that. Keep stroking. Darla unbuttons her jacket slowly, keeping her eyes on you, watching you stroke. First the jacket comes off, and then she slowly, very deliberately, unbuttons her blouse, revealing a black lacy bra. She smooths her hands down her stomach, over her round hips, in the tight pencil skirt. I bet you like what you see, don't you? She asks. Yes, you say. She reaches behind her, as if she's going to unclasp her bra. And then she smiles, drops her hands. Oh, I don't think you're quite ready for that. But you do want to see more, don't you? Yes, please, you whisper. Don't forget to keep stroking that cock of yours. She turns, leans just a little bit forward, and slowly tugs up her tight pencil skirt, revealing thigh-high stockings with lace tops and a garter belt. She doesn't quite pull up far enough for you to see her ass or her pussy, but you imagine, and you want to so badly. You'd like to see all of me, wouldn't you? You'd like to taste me, wouldn't you? Yes, you whisper. Too bad, because that's never going to happen. You feel a cold weight settle in your chest. A sense of disappointment spreads through you. Something about the way she says that makes you want her even more. Makes you crazy with the thought that maybe you will never get to taste her. Slowly, she unbuttons her pencil skirt, slides the side zipper down, and lets the skirt drop to the floor. She steps carefully out of the skirt, her eyes trained on yours. Your cock throbs in your hand. She looks so good. You're desperate for her. Suddenly, you hear the familiar click, click, click of her heels, and you look down. Those are the heels that you've heard all day long, up and down the hall. Click, click, click. Strong, shiny black pumps, red heel. They look so good on her feet. You can feel your mouth start to water. And Darla's looking at you very carefully, watching you stroke your cock, noticing that you're staring down at her feet. You like these heels, don't you? She sits carefully on the edge of the bed, just feet from you. I want you to get on your knees on the floor and lick these heels. Your heart starts throbbing in your chest. Your breath quickens. You scramble. Get on your knees. Lean down. Keep stroking that cock of yours. Yes. You feel your tongue slide over the toe box. That shiny, smooth, patent leather, almost frictionless underneath your tongue. You trace along the arch, all the while stroking your cock. You don't know why this is turning you on so much, but fuck, it's so perfect. especially as you feel her other foot slide so that her toes inside the shiny, smooth heels are rubbing against the underside of your balls. You grunt and moan. Darla shifts slightly. I want you to suck on this heel. Take it in your mouth. You don't hesitate. You feel your lips wrap around the end of the heel and feel it move into your mouth. You feel it press against your tongue and you suck dutifully on it, taking as much into your mouth as you can, loving the way it feels. As Darla presses more firmly against your balls, you can feel yourself getting closer. The situation you're imagining, the eroticism of the heel in your mouth, you naked with her in lingerie on the bed, staring down at you, watching you stroke that cock. I want you to come for me, she says. I want you to come with your mouth wrapped around my heel. Jerk it for me, baby. I want you to come for me. Come for me. Down on your knees, where you belong. Suddenly, you feel yourself convulse, start to shake, and come. Your body finally untenses, and you flop back on the bed, and you stare at the ceiling. It's not your usual fantasy. You tend to steer clear of such ball busters, especially since your experience with Martha, but something about Darla, her confidence, the way she carries herself, something about that woman just makes you want to get on your knees. You give a long sigh, clean yourself up, and roll over. We'll see what happens tomorrow. What do you think?